Hey, welcome back to Voices from the Frontlines, coming to you at 4 p.m. every Tuesday on KPFK, 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, 98.7 FM Santa Barbara. Mindy and Hank, I hope you're listening. And on the web at kpfk.org, this is your host, Eric Mann. I'm going to speak with a community organizer for the Community Rights Campaign of the Labor Community Strategy Center, Carla Gonzalez. Carla's been doing amazing work recruiting and training young high school organizers for many years now, for many of LA's inner city high schools. She joins me in the studio to discuss the challenges and rewards of organizing high school students and a lot of the innovations she's made in a new institution called the Summer Youth Organizing Academy. Now, one of the things about the Voices from the Frontlines you have to understand is the show has a name for a reason. Voices. Because we believe in individual voices, we believe in collective voices. A movement rises or falls by the integrity of the voice, the interestingness of the voice, the passion of the voice. So it's a Voices from the Frontlines. And from the frontlines, it means who is really on the front lines of the battle. Who's taking on the LAPD? Who's taking on the environmental polluters? Who's taking on Mayor Villaraigosa? Versus, frankly, those in the back lines who are doing less and less and less. And those on the no lines who are just doing nothing. So we bring people on the show who are doing interesting things. So Carla Gonzalez is somebody I'm happy to have on the show because she's one of the founders of an institution that, as am I. So I helped to found the Labor Community Strategy Center. And we encourage people inside the center who are part of the center to take initiative and generate projects that are part of the center. We don't spin them off into free enterprise. We're trying to expand the organization through a lot of creativity. So, Carla, why don't you start with what was the vision? As I understand, it was you, Mark Anthony, and Patrice, Mark Anthony Johnson and Patrice Cullors. Tell us the time and the date. What were you thinking about? What made you want to start this thing?
Hey, Eric. So in 2006, Mark Anthony and Patrice were working and I was volunteering at Cleveland High School in the San Fernando Valley in Reseda. And all three of us came into the Strategy Center as young people. So we were 17, 18 at the time in 2001, 2002. And so by 2006, we were working in the schools. We were looking at the conditions that young people were going through and were a part of. And the more and more we realized that there was a need for us to be there to not just be there to service them, but to really show them that there is fight back, that you can do something. We realized that there needed to be a space that can house their learning of how to be an organizer, how to change, how to make change in your community. And so Patrice and Mark Anthony started that summer in 2006 with the idea that was modeled after the school, the National School for Strategic Organizing. That's a 6-month program from the Labor Community Strategy Center. And for us, it was a 6-week program with five of our first guinea pigs, two of which, Haywan Asphalt and Julio Hernandez, are still with us at the center. And the idea was that we were going to give them a space for them to learn what it means to be an organizer. Because a lot of the times for young people, they don't even know that that is an option as a life choice in a career or anything like that. There's always, you know, college and stuff like that. But we brought them in and we modeled it after our other program. So they went on the buses twice a week in the morning from like 9 to 1. And then the afternoon, we would basically sit with them and talk to them about the theory. So in the morning, they were doing practice, really just talking to the community, talking about, at the time, we were doing bus riders union work, and now we do community rights work, but talking about the conditions of the buses, talking about the lines, the service cuts. It's the same around the same time that the fare hike happened with the MTA, and so they were very big force in the streets, getting the word out. And also, once they went back to the schools, it was their job to really create consciousness in their school site to talk about the BRU or talk about just general issues.
Well, one of the things is let's fast forward to today. You walk into the office. I walk into the office, and I can barely get to my office. I mean, there are these amazing, I don't know if I'm exaggerating, it looks like at least 25 young people and maybe 5 even younger people.
Yeah.
Mainly Black and Latino, people of all races, seem to be a significant number of self-identified queer young people. Working their butt off. I mean, the work ethic is so obvious. It's like a bunch of bees running around.
Yeah.
People with really great attitudes. I see you trying to be the orchestra leader of an orchestra that's moving in a whole lot of different directions.
Yeah.
What's it like now? I don't even want to get to how you got there because that'll take too long. But so what is S? You started with 5 people. Now you got 25. You have alumni already coming back. Tell us what it looks like now.
So this summer is actually our biggest summer. This is our seventh year that we're doing the Summer Youth Organizing Academy. This year we have 13 participants in the actual program. And then from the SYOA sprung off a junior SYOA, which is a younger version of elementary school aged children. So we have 10 of them this year. So it's 13 and then 10 and then interns that are alumni from SYOA or other programs. We have about 18 as well. So we have about 40 plus people in the office every Tuesday and Thursday working. And it's really amazing to me because, you know, this is not something, it's all volunteer work. And they keep coming back on time and doing the things that we ask them to and really taking in a lot of what we are talking to them about. And the best part for me is seeing some of the folks that have done the programs that we've provided for them and showing them how to be organizers in the school and stuff and watching them during the summer and really take leadership in the work that we give them, anywhere from recycling, right, as a fundraiser to going out on the buses and organizing and really, you know, getting postcards. Or one of our students who's working, or two of our students who are working with the junior SYO is really developing curriculum for them to do. So as this year's theme is Can't Stop, Won't Stop, making history and demanding our victories, because as the Community Rights Campaign just had a victory on the 22nd of February where we won an amendment to the daytime curfew. And so we want to know and we want to teach and we want to let folks know in our community that we have won. But like you were saying, Eric, that we have to demand the victories that we've won. So all the service hours, all of, you know, the ticket reduction in tickets and all of those things, we have to demand it for actual governmental agencies to give it to us. It doesn't just happen, and it takes a lot of work, which is what they're doing this summer.
Well, let's talk about the issue of political consciousness. I mean, this is from as far now, if you walked in, it would have a component of the so-called freedom schools that came out of the South during the 60s. The Brookwood Labor College was thought about, the Highlander Center in Tennessee. That is to say, people have thought about bringing people together to think about organizing, to train them to be organizing, which I think in essence is to teach them to be young revolutionaries. But what's the process of teaching? First of all, let's talk about what you'd like them to know, and then we'll get to how you do, you know, we'll get to the content first and the pedagogy second.
Right. So a lot of the time, we, you know, in our school systems, the education system is not teaching our young people actual real history or real education as it is. And so for us, we're getting a lot of black and brown youth in inner city schools that have a context of what education is, but not what it should be, right? So what we focus a lot with our youth is the fact that we as young black and brown people deserve a better education system. And, you know, the state of California is putting all this money and resources into prisons. And so a lot of young people come in with a lot of passion, a lot of anger, a lot of emotions that can be massaged into theoretical, right? So we always talk about lifting our life into theory, putting our life into theory, because our practice every day, you know, not catching the bus or getting stopped in the by the police in front of your school, it doesn't just happen just because it comes from a bigger framework. And so we work with different folks around the center, Eric included, different people who have a historical context of what it has been to really be in a civil rights movement, and then try to bring literature that backs up some of the things that we teach. So we talk about national oppression, we talk about patriarchy, we talk about queer liberation, we talk about what youth organizing and all the contradictions that happen within that. So we bring in articles, books, videos, we use mixed media, and we, you know, a lot of the time, because they're on the buses doing the actual practice, they can come back in to our office and sit down and themselves start to think, well, this connects to this, this connects to that. And it's really important for us to really, a lot of the times, meet young people where they're at and bring them towards where we need them to be.
I want you to stay there for a minute. We're talking to Carla Gonzalez, now the coordinator of the Summer Youth Organizing Academy at the Labor Community Strategy Center. You know, there's a debate inside the movement because people that I think have a more conservative ideology among organizers, they say, well, I want to work with people where they're at, and as if they invented this, you know, and right. I always go, well, who doesn't start with people where they're at? The question is, do you have any place that you want them to be? You right. just said word for word that point. So for our listeners to understand, we do have a theory of transformative organizing right. that believes you can change a person's consciousness by exposing them to advanced ideas about imperialism or patriarchy or national oppression that will have resonance with their actual life, you know, yeah. you know. So one question I'm interested in is attention span and herding whatever the, you know, cats. It seems pretty good, but I'm sure there's a struggle with young people that are on a much more shorter attention span that have been children of the TV generation and others. What's it like as a teacher now trying to figure out how to get 18 people to be paying attention at the same time, have them listen to each other, have them be able to respond after somebody says something that actually indicates they listened to the person before them? Tell yeah. me some of the things you're going through and experimenting with.
I mean, we do a lot of different things. I mean, from the beginning, SYOA is pretty serious. We have an application, we have an interview process, we have a parent orientation, we have a lot of different spaces where we're explaining to the participants and their parents what the amount of, you know, responsibility and accountability we're going to be asking from them. And then once they come in, we try to prepare them as much as possible by, you know, doing community agreements or doing guidelines or doing different things that are going to lay out what we're expecting from them so that it's very clear. I think that that's something that doesn't happen in regular educational systems where, you know, it's a very transparent process. And also, you know, we let them know, like, for example, we just gave them readings on imperialism, and we said, look, we know that you're not going to understand everything that's in this article, but I need you to read it and highlight and mark and, you know, use a dictionary, and as long as you read it, because honestly, as a young person, for me, it took me 5 to 7 years to really understand what imperialism was, what contradictions meant, what so many things that I learned at a very young age. But the more I exercise my brain with these concepts and different ways in which it came, then we tried to, you know, I learned more. For the younger ones, it's a little bit harder. I mean, you get an age range from 6 to 10 or 11, and you are trying to explain to them, you know, that right now Junior SYOA is doing the migration. So both brown, you know, Latino migration over to the States, and then black migration from south to north, and what happened and why people migrate in general and right. in context to this government or to this country. And so, you know, you got to take an hour, explain something, and then give them snacks and take them outside or run. And you bring them back and, you know, you have another conversation. It's constant. Being a teacher is a very rough and tough job, and it's rewarding because at the end of the summer, you have all these students who love you and believe in the work and are transformed to become the next Eric Mann, the next Carla, the next Alejandra or whatever. But it takes a lot of patience from the teachers to actually to have expectations and also let go of expectations, because all of us are different types of learners. And so when you're teaching big concepts, you know, when you're saying in 5 weeks, you're going to learn all these things and you're going to learn how to go on the buses and organize and you're going to call somebody back and invite somebody to a monthly meeting and go and, you know, put stickers up and then go to the 25th on City Hall and then do at the end of the summer on August 11th, they have a graduation where they have to perform. So they write poetry, they learn theater, and they perform for their families and the rest of the folks. So it's a lot of work that we're asking them to do. So in a lot of ways, we have to be just patient and know that organizers' consciousness takes time.
Well, one thing I think is great in listening to this is, remember, for our listeners, especially if you wonder, gee, if anything exciting is happening out here, I can't think of anything much more exciting than what I'm hearing, that what Carla Gonzalez is doing. I'll tell you a couple of things that, as you're listening, that I think are very exciting. And the first thing is that you, even though you accept most of the people who apply, it's a competitive situation that people feel that they have to get in, that they're not automatically going to get in. The second thing is a strong orientation, sort of, do you know what you got in? And that's not often done. And then there's all this, hey, you told me and I didn't know. No, you knew, you know. The third is apparently agreements, like people sign agreements about behaviors, is that right, and about mm-hmm. goals and objectives to be met. Mm-hmm. The fourth is it's a very intensive, it's a 5-week program. So, boy, these phases from orientation to graduation, you can't skip a, you know, you cannot skip a beat. And I think it's just been really exciting to watch it, Carla, and to see a group of basically young Black and Latina, I say revolutionaries, people who have a broader perspective of what they're trying to do. So a couple of questions. Let's bulk up the graduation a little bit. Some of the listeners out there, we're going to ask you to come out July 25th, which 11 o'clock on City Hall steps. But when is the SYO a graduation? Because that's quite an exciting thing, and I think some of you should really consider coming out for it. When is it and where is it?
It's August 11th.
It's a Saturday.
It's from 5:30 to 8, and the location is to be announced. Okay. So it's either going to be on Western and Pico area or Adams and La Brea area.
Okay,
so in Los Angeles. And it's $10 to $20 sliding scale tickets. It's a fundraiser, and we definitely want as many people as possible. All our youth are selling 10 tickets, so if you call now to the office, they will answer the phone and sell you a ticket right at this very moment in time. So, yeah, it's really exciting, and you can also go on YouTube and look up SYOA graduation and see some of the performances from past years.
So if you call 213-387-2800, you can both say that you want to come to the President Obama and Force Restore and Expand our Civil Rights campaign,
yes,
which will be at 11 o'clock on Wednesday the 25th. You can also say that you'd also like to get a ticket for the SYOA graduation, which is Saturday, August 11th at 5:30, time and place to be announced, and once we get your information, we'll be all over you.
Yeah.
So in our last few minutes, Carla, we're still doing good. We've used the word revolutionary somewhat loosely without giving much content to it. Start with yourself. Is that a term that you apply to yourself? Because I'm not trying to throw it around in a facile way. And if so, how do you understand it as you're talking to yourself?
I mean, I do. I think I would call myself a revolutionary educator. I think that as an organizer, I put myself amongst the greats of people, starting from Grandma Kim, who was my revolutionary educator at the Strategy Center, and, you know, a whole bunch of other folks. I would. I think that what makes for me a revolutionary is someone who has the intent and need to make change in the communities that they're from or in communities that are needed. And so for me, as a Latina Salvadoreña queer woman of color, I think that I have no other choice. Like, this is the life choice that I have to make, because there is so much, you know, there's so much out there that there's so many. Most of the time, and especially doing this program, I see a lot of myself being a role model. And when I am a role model, I think role models are revolutionary. You know, all of my role models are revolutionary. I see so many young people come up to me and say, oh my God, Carla, you know, what you said or, you know, what you did or how you said it really made me think and made me change the way that I was doing something or saying something. And I think that is what revolutionary is transforming minds, transforming actions that people have. And so I see all of my young people as revolutionaries, all of the ones listening to the show right now, as they're sitting there really trying to comprehend and understand even why does it mean so much for them to be in this program this summer.
Well, we're talking also about revolutionary. Let's talk a little bit more about revolutionary conscious about race.
Mm-hmm.
You have a lot of different theories of race, and I'm going to, you know, try to. I've been doing some writing about it and thinking about it. You have obviously President Obama, who's saying that we live in a somewhat post-racial order, that there was racial discrimination and people fought very hard against it, but his election somewhat proves that in a still majority white voting bloc, we elected the first Black president of the United States. I also know that there's a lot of oppressed nationality, Black and Latino people who do not think that racism is over, but really are tired of talking about it and feel that there's not very much sympathy. And then you got a lot of white people who are saying, oh, I did the race thing in the 60s. We already integrated the schools. Rosa Parks got her seat on the bus. I mean, how much more do you people want, you know? Now yeah. This is racism. That's everything's racism. Come on. Why don't you just join the society and stop being so racial?
Yeah.
How would you address it? Where do you situate SYO and yourself in that dialogue?
Well, you know, we believe in training young Black and Brown API folks. We believe that they are going to be leading a lot of the work that we do, and in general that the movement is doing. I'll give you an example that race isn't over. So today, the Junior SYOA was out by our office next door, and for some reason, the only green area in our around our office is we can't use it, right? And so we went into where all the dirt is. And the security guard came out and told our young Black and Brown kids that they could not be there. And they were like, well, you know what? Well, there's other people. And he's like, well, you have 30 minutes. And so one of our junior SYOAers, his name is Sonny, he said, well, that's racist. And the guy, you know, probably just dismissed him. But for a 10-year-old to really think, well, we're the only kids of color here. Everybody else is on the lawn and we're in the dirt and you're still kicking us out. That's racism. And so for us, we talk about it openly, not as something, you know, as history, but something that happens every day. We have, you know, we have young people, getting truancy tickets on a daily basis. We have young black people, being cited for disturbing the peace when all they're doing is saying, no, I don't want to do that, right? And for us, it's really important to tell and to talk about race in the context of this country and in the world for them to understand that it's not just, you know, isolated incidents of discrimination, that it's actually part of a system, a larger system that is often, you know, nowadays not even looked at because we're supposed to, we can sit in the front of the bus, we can sit in the classrooms, we can, you know, go to college, you know, we can do a lot of different things because it says now don't discriminate upon race, gender, and all these things. But in reality, does that actually happen? Like, why did those 10 young Black and Brown kids get kicked out of the dirt part of the building when there wasn't a need for that?
Well, Jeff, give me a time check, because I got to make sure I want to tie up with Carla in a good way. I think we got 3 minutes, Carla. We're going to try to tie up. Why do you think people should show up on City Hall steps on Wednesday, July 25th at 11 o'clock? What's driving you there, and why should they call 213-387-2800? Really, what makes you tick?
I mean, I've been in this organization for a long time. I was at the MTA board meeting the other day when they were talking about Measure R and they were talking about passing it, and they, you know, we went up with our 1 minute and, you know, they didn't even look at us. It's such the oppression and repression that the MTA board as an institution has done to our people, to working class Black and Brown people in Los Angeles, by raising fares, by cutting lines, by introducing rail lines that cost more than any bus route that they could have actually implemented, is infuriating. And it's not just making me angry, it's actually affecting a lot of people. 500,000 people in the city are dependent on the bus system, right? And so we are on the buses talking about a lot of different things, and as we're on the buses, people are saying, well, you know what's wrong? I just took 3 buses that, you know, that a month or two ago, I only had to take one.
Wow.
And so it's really important for us and for the young, you know, SYOA and community rights. We're bringing everybody out, 100 people, so that the mayor, the board, President Obama can hear it loud and clear that we as working class people of color of Los Angeles, students, mothers, children, are in unity and in the united front to really have a first-class, viable transportation system in Los Angeles so that our air can be better, so we can play, so we can get to work and to the movie theater. You know, that there's a lot of things that we need to do, and we need our, not just 100 service hours, but our own time back, right? So the 3 hours that I spend at the bus stop, I didn't want to spend it there. I actually wanted to get somewhere and get back home to my family, right? So that's why I think, and this is just the beginning. If they can mess with our transportation system, which is something that is, you live, you need it, then what else is it going to be next, right? And so that's how I see it. I think it's urgent for folks to really call in and really make that commitment to come in on the 25th. If you've never been to a march, the BRU and the Community Rights Campaign is one of the best, most charismatic. The drum and chant, the Tapscots, and all of us in the pickets and sign, we're colorful, we are loud, our chants are amazing. And so on top of you just being there in support of a bigger cause, you're also going to be there with a big community and family that really truly talks about and is about civil rights.
Thanks, Carla. That was great. So you listened to an example of her own program. That was Carla Gonzalez, the lead organizer and coordinator of the National Summer Youth Organizing Academy, a graduate of the National School for Strategic Organizing. And think about coming out on August 11th as well for their graduation. These are two terrific programs. And I hope both stories give you a lot of hope about the role of organizers who are out there trying to make history together.